Gentas presents The Perfect Life by Susanna Beard, performed by Emma Gregory. For Caroline. Acknowledgements. Heartfelt thanks to Caroline and Tim Plumpter, who introduced me to the gorgeous town of Zahara de los Atunes in southern Spain. I'm so grateful for your hospitality and your endless patience with my questions. To all my early readers, especially Judy Jones, who has the eyes I need to improve my books and the patience to read multiple drafts. I'm hugely grateful to Sophie Hanna and her fantastic Dream Author program, which inspired me to make the book the best it can be. Many thanks to my publisher, Jasper Joffe, for taking me on, and to Emma Grundy Haig, commissioning and managing editor at Joffe Books, for her uplifting enthusiasm and support for my books. Thanks also to everyone else at Joffe who has worked on this story. And to all my readers, thank you for reading. Chapter 1. Heather. She knows something's going on the moment she hears the text arrive. There's a new edge to its tone, urgent, metallic, like a warning signal. She feels its power in the air, its two notes hanging, demanding attention. She dries her hands wet from the kitchen sink and crosses the room to the worktop where her mobile lies. She stares at the screen for a moment, trying to ignore the feeling of heaviness in her gut.
"Hi, Heather. We're having a few people for dinner Saturday night. Would you two like to join us? Nothing formal, just a relaxed evening. From 8 o'clock. We'd love to see you. Victoria and Andrew. Kiss."
Pulling a chair from the kitchen table where the remains of the family's breakfast are still scattered around, she sinks down, staring at the screen. It seems innocuous. To all intents and purposes, it's a positive message, innocent and friendly. But her stomach clenches all the same. Suspicion, her new best friend, crooks its finger at her, winking its knowing eye. There's only one Victoria she can think of. Never Vicky, always Victoria. This woman is the mother of a boy called Alex, a friend of her elder son, Ben, who has been to their house many times to hang out in the dark, mysterious cell Ben calls a bedroom. Victoria's husband is called Andrew, never Andy. They live in the smart part of Hammersmith, where bijou restaurants and delicatessens link hands, a peaceful haven not far from the bustle of their own road, squeezed in between Shepherd's Bush Green and White City. They've met only once or twice on the perimeter of the school football pitch. She remembers standing next to Victoria in the rain, their umbrellas touching as they made small talk and pretended to enjoy themselves. The woman had all the right gear. Leather riding boots, long oilskin coat, stylish hat and the biggest umbrella Heather had ever seen. Heather, meanwhile, had made some less than practical choices. Her shoes were leaking, her coat had no hood, her umbrella had cost £5 in Shepherd's Bush Market and wouldn't stay up properly. She felt lumpy and awkward next to this woman, with her immaculate makeup and thick dark ponytail, like a country bumpkin next to a fashion icon. And her social skills had definitely not been up to it. Victoria, establishing the proximity of their two homes, had asked if Heather and James had been to the new smart restaurant at the top of her road. They hadn't, and it was clear that Heather had never heard of it. Victoria's eyebrow had twitched upwards a fraction. Heather had felt humiliated and tongue-tied for the rest of the day. But that was months ago, before. She gives suspicion a little room. It's wise to be cautious in her situation. Studying the message again for a moment, she struggles to remember the woman's last name. Not only can she not remember it, she has no recollection of ever knowing it. More importantly, only Heather's closest friends and family have her mobile number. The school would surely not have given it out. It's possible Victoria could have asked her son to get it from Ben, but that too would seem a strange thing to do.